Ed.
The Honest Truth with Benito Vergatini. Smile 90.4 FM.
20 minutes before 10. Tracy, thank you so much for your message saying, Ida, you're an inspiration. And thank you, Tracy. That message put a big smile on Ida's face. And she'll be joining us again next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock as we continue to unpack the seven natural laws of the universe. Now, many children in South Africa run the risk of developing foot abnormalities such as hammer, clawed and retracted toes and heel spurs because they wear school shoes that don't fit properly. Now, this is one of the key findings of a new study at Stellenbosch University. The study was conducted by Marissa Briet and Ronel Venter from the Department of Sports Science at Stellenbosch University, and their findings were recently published in BMC Pediatrics. Now, Marissa earlier caught up with Smile FM's Zahra Shuda to talk about this research.
In 2015, Dr. De Villiers, who's also part of our team, did her doctor's degree, and she kind of looked at the foot morphology of children in South Africa. And what she wanted to see is how they differ from other nationalities. So she compared them to European feet, and we found that there's a big difference between South African feet and or African feet and European feet. Mm. And obviously there's a lot of factors that influence our foot morphology. But specifically, she did a barefoot questionnaire to find out how often children in South Africa are actually barefoot. This barefoot questionnaire that was not about only at home, but also on the sport field, after school, in school, all of those things. Mm-hmm. And most children actually indicated, or not most, 90.9% of children indicated that they are habitually barefoot in South Africa. So wow. She then tested the worn school shoes, the shoes they actually had on their feet that day, just to look at what they looked like. And some of them were worn, and you know what school shoes look like. But she wanted to see if they are actually fitting well on the children's feet. And she actually found also that the worn school shoes were sometimes not even if they were worn, they were still not the dimensions of the children's foot and foot length and foot width. So that kind of inspired my research to say, okay, well, we know that ill-fitting shoes can cause a lot of damage to a foot, which we can talk about later as well. But I looked at 700 kids. I looked at their foot length and their foot width. I measured the foot height as well. And I then recorded the shoe size they were wearing that day, but I didn't measure the shoe that they had on their feet. So I then went to the stores all over, and I looked what we had in retail. And I then took those measurements and I compared to what we have in retail. And my findings was that 59% of kids were most probably compensating through the length of the shoe to kind of make up for the width of the shoe. Because 98% of kids could not find a shoe that would fit their width properly. And that is a typical thing that we found with a barefoot population, that we've got wider feet, higher foot arches, a more pliable foot. So that's the difference between the European foot and the South African foot.
So this is so shocking, really, to me. I mean, nearly 60% of children wear shoes that are not the correct length. That is absolutely shocking to think. And, you know, when you think of shoes nowadays that you wear in your adult life, they kind of pinch you and they're kind of painful. But for children, do they experience any kind of pain because they're wearing these ill-fitting shoes?
You know, children are interesting because they don't always give you proper feedback, and that's where the parents come in. And, you know, children's feet actually grow approximately 1.5 centimeter a year, a normal child foot. So those shoes have to be checked regularly, and the education on what a shoe fit should look like, I don't know if parents always know. They sometimes leave too much space in front of the shoe or too little space, or they just leave the shoe until the child just can't go anymore. So children normally complain about pain, but you know, they don't give proper feedback. So we sometimes see that the children, their biomechanics basically change. So you can see that their walking are changing. You can see when a shoe is not fitting. So we normally pick it up there, but then it's almost too late.
One of the additional traumas that I think when buying school uniforms is that they always buy it really big because you're always going to grow into it. And I think the same mentality applies with school shoes. You mentioned that the dimensions of our South African feet is a little bit different. When children have to now make do with shoes that don't fit them properly, what are some of the future physical implications that they could be faced with later in life?
Yes, so the problem here is that a foot is very vulnerable through its growing phases. And a child's foot basically grow and develop properly up until the age of 13, 14 for girls, and for boys it's a little bit later, maybe 15. And there was actually a very, very interesting study that was done by Gottskalk in 1980 already, and by Thompson and Zipfel, and they agreed that most foot pathologies and abnormalities in adulthood may have actually been established in childhood. So we basically, so sometimes we don't even see it in a child's foot, but we pick it up later in life. So, but ill-fitting shoe can cause very uncomfortable, can be uncomfortable, cause pain in varying degrees. It can lead to compensations, like I said earlier, and it can impact your load transfer just during walking and running and jumping activities. And obviously, ill-fitting shoes can then be associated with foot deformities such as talus valgus, which is our bunions, our hematos, heel spurs, plantar fasciitis, and we can carry on blisters, foot alterations, all of those nasty things that we can basically see. But sometimes the effect is even higher up in the biomechanical chain.
You mentioned something about the British school shoe model. Why is it that, you know, we've been using it, and is that just a standard sort of model that is used when school shoes are made worldwide?
Yes, so I have to come up, or I have to back the South African shoe manufacturing companies here now, because it is very important to note that this data has not been readily available for manufacturers, just because there's been no data on our South African children's feet up until now. So we are in the process of obviously starting a consulting company to help South African school manufacturers. And we want to do this in a visible form, like a certification mark that's displayed on the shoe. And obviously, the certification mark will signify that this shoe was made based on the data of the basic length and width of South African pediatric foot. So to our knowledge, up until now, South African shoe manufacturers have used the shoe design based on a British system called the Mondo Point system. And what they basically do is they use the length as a baseline, and they're not considering the intercontinental differences in the width of the shoe. And that's, like I said, just not, because the data has not been readily available for manufacturers.
Joining us in conversation this evening on The Honest Truth, a voice there of Marisa Breit, chairperson at the Biokinetics Association of South Africa. She's chatting to Smile FM Zahra Schroeder to detail why over 60% of South Africa's children are at the risk of developing foot abnormalities.
Why has no one ever really thought to link any of these issues together? For years now, our children have been wearing school shoes, and for years they've also been running around barefoot. So why is it that no one has actually made the link between the two?
That's a very good question. So last week I had a gentleman of 82 who phoned me, and he told me that in 1978, his job was to stretch school shoes for children.
Wow.
So he had equipment, and I saw pictures of the equipment. He WhatsApped me, and he showed me how he used to stretch them, because everybody complained that the school shoes and shoes were too narrow for their feet. So, but then he also said, in the past, the school shoes were made of genuine leather, so it could be stretched. But these days, it's not made of leather. So that's the problem. And I think that's why it was exaggerated now, because usually when you wear your school shoe, it will stretch according to your foot. And your foot kind of the model kind of stretched it in the way you wanted it. But now these days, the shoes are not made of leather anymore, and it actually cannot be stretched. So that's the problem, I think, at the moment.
Hmm. So we also spoke about creating, well, hopefully the South African foot model that can be used for manufacturers. But in the interim, until we get to that point, is there anything that parents can do to assist their child?
Yeah, this is hard because, you know, if the shoes are just not there, it's almost impossible to find a shoe that's comfortable. But there are some brands that do cater for a little bit of a wider foot. Obviously, I can't say any names. But parents must look at their children's feet, and they must go and fit it in the shops. Don't just buy a shoe and say, "Yeah, you're going to wear this." And look what feels comfortable, and a child will immediately tell you, So, and just take into mind that the children's feet are growing tremendously. 1.5 centimeters is a lot, and just check it regularly. So, an idea is also it's so hard because shoes are expensive. So people, we realize that people can't just keep on buying shoes, but that's why we want the basic measurements just to be correct, even in the most basic shoes. If the measurements are correct, then we're already winning.
Is there any further developments that you have in plan for this research?
Yes, so we would love to gain more data. At present, we've got almost 1,300 kids' feet from rural and urban areas, but we would obviously love to gain more data. And that's the idea also with the consulting company, that whatever we gain from that, we would love to push into new research and more research and get more people in the field to get even more data, and not only for kids but also for older people as well, to see if we have shoes that actually will fit our feet.
Most definitely. Of everything that we've spoken and everything that you've presented, is there any fact or even something that you've learned in this research that has intrigued you that maybe you'd like to share with our listeners?
So I was quite surprised with why people buy shoes. Well, obviously the most important thing is to protect the foot from the external environment. But shoes are really not always based on biomechanically sound data and on the foot shape and to protect the natural shape of the foot. But sometimes it's really based on fashion trends and sports idols and all sorts of things. So I think the take-home message is to listen to your body and also to see what you push your feet into. And is it really worthwhile to wear shoes that's actually hurting you and giving you blisters and just to look nice? Because as a biokineticist, I also see so many people with foot arthritis and big problems later on in life because they haven't done what was needed to actually protect their feet. Yeah. One other thing I wanted to add is that there's a lot of things that obviously act into developing the foot on the foot morphology. It's not only shoes. So there's internal factors that your age, your gender, your weight, your height and your body mass index, all of that, and external factors is obviously your climate and your socioeconomic status, and then it's one of them is your shoe wearing habits. But just try and do whatever you can to actually take care of your feet and your body, because they've got to carry you all over.
Marissa, thank you so much for taking the time to answer my questions and to share a little bit more about the research that you found along the way. Any shout outs or people that you'd like to thank?
I definitely want to thank my supervisor, which is Prof. Renal Fenter. She's gone actually all the way with me and with Dr. De Villiers. She's actually the brain behind everything, and she's been pushing us to do this data. So I really want to thank her, and obviously Dr. De Villiers for inspiring my study as well. So they are also, we are colleagues in this new company, and they are just phenomenal women. And I would love, love, love to thank them and just to say thank you for having my back all the way and helping me also to achieve whatever, to do the best I could do as well.
The Honest Truth with Benito Vergatini. Smile 90.4 FM.